Oh, hello. Welcome back to Ungroundable, the show where we disappoint our parents one untold story at a time. I'm Lisa Schwartz, and I'm here with
Mom,
my co-host. And today, I'm so excited. We have Mitch Silpa with
us
today.
I love him.
I love him. You might recognize him from Bridesmaids,
yes.
From All Rise, or if you're a local here in LA, he is part of The Groundlings.
Mm.
He is hysterical. He is an actor, a writer. All over great man, and it's going to be wild and crazy.
I can't wait.
Today we're talking about binge drinking, crank calls, and minor vandalism. You'll just have to wait and see, so let's do this.
If your parents only knew of the shit you used to do, you'd be grounded for
Thank you for joining us. We just are so happy to have you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
I think the last time my mom and you were together in a room, you were signing my husband and my ketubah at our wedding.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's it. I was very honored to be asked to sign the ketubah. I don't know why I was.
Was that the highlight of your Jewish career?
Maybe. Yes.
But right that, behind your bar mitzvah?
No, it topped the bar mitzvah. It was signing your ketubah, bar mitzvah, and then seeing Yentl.
Where did you see that? Ooh. The movie, right?
I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm joking about Yentl. It's okay.
Yeah,
I saw it in the theater when it came out.
And did you cry? There were some moments.
There's moments.
Yeah. There were some moments.
Mitch is very... For those who don't know, before you got on here, Mitch, we read your IMDb, your Wikipedia. My mom printed it out on a Gmail document,
yes.
And brought it in today, like a MapQuest. but Mitch is also... You are one of my husband's best friends. And I also think you are a movie aficionado.
Ooh.
Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I love and have always loved movies. Like when people say, when I meet them and I'm like, I love movies. And they go, oh, I love movies too. I go, no, you understand. I love movies. Like,
wow.
I love them. Yeah, no, I love movies.
But you also are very, like, you could also very much hate a movie. Like, I feel like I turn to you to see if Mitch is liking it. We go to see the movies at the cemetery together. I'm like, okay, if Mitch is liking it, then... Actually, you won't even go to a movie at the cemetery unless it's a movie you like. You're very specific.
Well, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting... I have seen a couple movies there that I've never... I remember seeing the Treasure of Sierra Madre there with a friend, and I'd never seen that movie before, so I'm like, oh, I'll see that movie. But yeah, for the most part, if I'm going to the cemetery movie, it's kind of a movie I've seen and loved.
It better be a good one. Well, I always enjoy.
Do you have a favorite movie? Is that even possible?
Of all time?
Yeah.
That's like one of those questions that you answer that, like, later on today, I'll be like, oh, what about that movie? But if you had, like, put a gun to my head and you're like, what's your favorite movie?
Yeah.
I might just say Ordinary People.
Oh yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
That's so
that
special.
One.
I don't know if I've ever seen. I read the book. I feel like that was required reading. And
oh, was it? Yeah. We didn't have to read it in high school. I mean, when I saw the movie, I was a weird kid. I saw it as a kid in the theater and went to go see it again like 7 times.
That's pretty dark.
Yes.
Are you okay?
Barely.
Do you like?
I will say there's I have experienced there's gay men of my age who relate to Ordinary People that were like when they saw it as a kid. I think you can easily like. Timothy Hutton's character isn't gay, but you can kind of like connect to that character on that some level.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I don't know. There's also, I mean, also I'm Jewish and it's like, it's a family of like wasps. Like there's nothing to relate to. But
so true.
It's the family drama of it all.
Yeah.
It's so well written. It's so well done. Yeah. It's so well acted. I love that movie. Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
In Encino, mostly.
Oh,
yeah.
I think I should have known that.
That's where I live.
Did you grow up there?
No.
How long have you lived there?
Let's see. As long as I've with you.
Yeah,
guys.
I mean, she grew up in like the South Bay, right?
South Bay for a while, and then I came back to the Valley. So, yeah.
Yeah, we moved there when I was like six, like I was in first grade. So most of my life I had lived, most of my childhood definitely I lived in the Valley.
And it's grown so much. I mean, since you were a child, it's like crazy.
Well, I want to know about the dynamics of your family as we start to kind of head into our stories. Like, give us, I feel like the Valley is such a specific background and I understand it, and people that are from here, like, Valley Jews are a very specific type. So I can only imagine what your family is like. And you did a fantastic one-man show, which you should do again.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that was, I wish everyone could. Is it online somewhere?
No, I only did it. I did it just at the Groundlings, maybe like four or five times, maybe six. But it's been a bit, I don't know why I just corrected myself. I needed to be that specific.
Maybe seven.
It could have been seven, but I'll say six. I would actually. It's weird. I have been thinking about doing it again, but it's been a bit since I've done it. It was my first time doing a solo show that I wrote and performed. So it was I've been on. In my life, five game shows. And so the show was sort of about that, but it was really kind of about my family. But I had clips from like four of those shows.
Oh, how fun.
Fantastic. Yeah. And just the insight to your family. And I just found it's so beautiful. You have a really wonderful way of tying in comedy, but with a lot of heart and truth and beauty. We're going to ruin that all today and take away all the beauty. But can you, for those who didn't see that show, can you kind of explain your family a little bit and who these stories you're hiding from are about?
Yeah, stop hiding. Let's hear it.
Let's stop. Okay, so you want me to explain my family? Mm-hmm. So this Jewish family. My parents, they didn't have I would not say the best marriage. There's a lot of fighting going on growing up, but I think my gut is that before my sister, I have an older sister who's about a year, 8 months older than me, that before we were born, I feel like they had a pretty passionate relationship.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Thanks for coming along.
Yeah. And then we, can we say bad words?
Oh, yeah.
Please.
I remember, okay, so when we were little kids, so on the weekends, there would be like, on a Sunday, there'd be like my parents would take like their like an afternoon nap where they would go into their bedroom and close the door. And so one time, my mom's name is B. My dad's name is Larry. My mom's name is B. So my sister and I, my sister said, you know, like told me to like, let's go listen on the door. We knew something was up.
Oh, no.
But oh, my God.
We were like listening at the door. I mean, I must have been in like third or fourth grade. And we were listening and, you know, like you're kids and you're louder than you realize you are. And so we were listening and then we heard my mom say, stick it in there, Larry, and get it over with.
That's awesome.
And we ran away and we heard my dad go, B!
And get it over with.
Stick it in there, Larry, and get it over with. And my dad said, B! Which I think is like,
oh my God.
Maybe that's like the best sort of like description of their relationship, because my mom was always kind of like, my mom loved the 60s. She was always into fashion. Oh. She was kind of like more like fun and stuff. And my dad was more, a little bit more conservative and like, he always said he was independent, but he always voted Republican.
That's funny. Yeah,
but yeah, I think that was that kind of like something about my mom was like,
oh
like,
no,
knew we were listening and said something
to shock her
kids. I didn't even know what that meant, but we ran away. From the door.
I feel like that needs to be a bumper sticker. Like, you got to get that for her embroidered on a pillow or
for
something.
For sure.
I wonder if she'd even remember it. I mean, like, do you remember?
You have to send this to her. Yeah, because that's the whole point of this. Also is like things that we remember as a kid. So, I mean, you remember that so distinctly. Sometimes our parents literally have no idea because either we hid it from you or our memories are a little bit different.
Because Mitch, your mom probably said that more than once. I'm just saying.
That was her go-to line.
That was her go-to.
Stick it in there, Larry, and get it over with.
Romantic.
Get it over with.
Oh, my God.
She was playing her, and to say it to, for your, because you know your kids are listening. I feel like if I had kids, I would be very similar. Because my mom was always like lying,
fucking
to
with
us.
You.
Yeah, like she would make up. She was always telling us she was magic. I said this in our my show, but she was like,
yeah,
she would tell she was magic, and then like if my dad was coming home from work, she sort of knew like about what time he'd get home. So she'd tell me, like one time she was telling us that, oh, I'm magic. And and I'm like, no, you're not. And she's like, well, I know your dad's going to pull up in 5 minutes. And then he would and be like, ooh, you know.
Magic.
Magic. And then she would tell us also that if we, God, no wonder I'm damaged. If we lied, that we would get like pimples on our tongue. That if we lied, we get pimples on our tongue.
God.
It's actually really, it's like genius because if she ever thought we were lying, she would say, let me
stick
see your
stick
tongue.
Out your tongue.
You see out your tongue. And so if we go, lying, she knew we were telling the truth. But if we were like, you know, we weren't sure our tongue, she knew we were lying.
Did you ever try to like pop your tongue? Like pimple pop your tongue?
I don't, she called them pimples, but they were probably like those like cold, whatever those sores you get on them, canker sores?
Herpes.
Herpes. Yeah, I was a child with herpes.
It was a rough childhood.
Look, you had to get through it. Oh, no, sorry.
Does your mom still do stuff like that?
No, I mean, we're to us. No.
Just in general. She's pretty fabulous.
Is she still
pictures.
Magic?
She seems
like
pretty
her.
Magical.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, no, she's pretty cool. She's she doesn't really tell lies. My mom is still from that. I mean, I don't know if it's generational now because my mom is of that generation that is like shoots from the hip, like doesn't really care the words that they're using. We'll just say whatever, filterless. And like, it's kind of like, you know, because everyone's so very aware of the words you're using now and should be.
Yeah,
but
her
generation, like, it just feels like
free.
It is hilarious to me.
Yeah. And horrifying at the same time.
And horrifying. Yeah.
Is that why she's not here with us today?
Yeah. I didn't tell her I was doing this.
Well, we're going to dedicate this to her today.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm expecting that you have some stories to share that you've been holding on tight to all these years.
All the stories I was going to tell, like now my mind's going into different
areas. Oh, I mean, go for it. Lay them all on, really.
No, because, well, this story isn't, my mom knows of this story. So this isn't for your show, but I'll just share it with you. When the first time I ever, I was like such a good little boy, like the whole like gay best little boy in the world syndrome where you're like closeted.
Is
so you
that
have
a
to
thing?
Yeah, no, there's a book called The Best Little Boy in the World that it's about like gay boys.
That's
that are,
so
like,
cute.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's like you're in the closet, so you like you know your biggest fear is that if people find out you're gay, they're not gonna, really on the core of it is you can't articulate it, but they're not gonna love you, they're not gonna gonna disown you, or they're gonna, so you start to you just trying to be like, oh, people will love me if I get good grades or if I do this or and you know if I'm perfect, so
and
you certainly learn that that's not how people love anybody. Mm-hmm. You don't really love perfect people, so you love their damage, but it wasn't really until college. I was in a fraternity. This is before I came out.
Wow.
And, which one?
ZBT, the Jewish fraternity.
My dad was in that. Do you guys,
really?
You guys could do the handshake or whatever.
I could do
the high sign.
I could do the secret handshake with your dad, and there is one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wait, where did you go to school?
I was undergraduate at Cal State Northridge, and then I went to grad school at UCLA.
Okay.
Very educated.
Yeah.
But I was at a fraternity party, God, and and I had driven my car. I think I drove my car to the, and left it at a friend's house. And then we all drove to the fraternity house together. And I hadn't eaten that much. And there was like a lot of, like I had about Long Island iced teas.
Oh no.
Like in the thing. And I had, and those drinks are like the devil.
They taste so good.
And then it comes out.
Yes, you can't taste the alcohol. And I had five of them.
So I was so drunk
and I was having a great time.
Were you doing the shimmy dance?
I probably was like this. It was the 80s, so I was probably doing this. So like I went, so we drove these two girls who were like, I think they were maybe the little sisters in the fraternity, like back to their sorority house. And then we were sitting there all just chatting and I was drunk. Then all of a sudden, I stopped talking and I was thinking, I don't want to be drunk anymore. I don't want to be drunk.
And then all of a sudden, I hate that feeling.
I don't want to be drunk anymore. Then I was like, I'm not feeling well. So he drove me home and I was living at my parents' house at this time. And I just remember I felt like nauseous.
It's coming.
And I had never thrown up from alcohol before, but I remember him driving. And there was like one speed he could hit that was fine, but it was always like slow down, speed up, slow down, and then stay here.
Oh no!
So
I know that feeling so well.
It was awful.
Mom knows it too.
She had it last weekend. Yeah. Oh.
Good for you.
Yeah, sure.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it was like it must have been like 2 or 3 in the morning, and so Brian dropped me off at my house, my parents' house. And I went to the front, and he left, and I went to the front door, and I was having so much trouble figuring out how to get the key in the front door. I just couldn't. I must have been making so much noise. But also, by the way, to my parents at this point, as I mentioned, their marriage was not good. My dad snored so bad, you could hear it through the house. So my mom would often leave the bedroom and sleep on the couch. So she was in the living room, which was by the front door.
At
some point, the front door opened and my mom answered. It was like 3 in the morning or whatever it is. And I said, hi. And she says, are you okay? And all I said was, I have to go throw up. And she said, she knew what was going on. She said, okay. And then I went and I threw up. Oh, and she asked me where my car was. And I said, it's at the fraternity house.
Good work. Yeah. You didn't drive?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no. So I was still responsible. It was the 80s, but I was responsible.
Yeah. So, ahead of your time.
Ahead of my time. So, designated driver was starting to become a thing, that term there.
Yeah.
So I threw up, went to bed. And in the morning, I got up probably around noon. And my dad... they went and they got my car and they brought it back.
Nice.
And so my dad was like very serious. He didn't know how to handle this. So it was like, he asked me, he goes, do you have a drinking problem? He went there immediately.
How are you feeling? Are you okay?
No. He said, do you have a drinking problem?
I'll drive you to AA or something.
And I said, no, Dad. And he went, it was good enough for him. He's like, okay. But if I did,
I know, damn.
That's not really the best way. I mean, that was my dad.
God.
My dad was never, he didn't want to delve too deep into anything. Good. You said you don't have a drink. Yeah.
Okay.
And my dad never had the sex talk with me, ever. I don't know how I
figured it out.
Yeah. But I do remember him asking me one time he just said, do you have any questions?
Oh God.
And I said, because I was like, of course, I was like, no, because it was so awkward.
So awkward.
Yeah, I had a million questions.
Of course.
But he never.
He just randomly asked you, do you have any questions?
No. When I was in sixth grade, we had an assembly, an after school assembly I'm sure there was one for girls and their mothers, but it was for boys and their fathers. This is so weird.
Wow.
And we went and we watched like one of those terrible educational movies.
I watched those when I was a kid.
But with your mom?
Not with my
mom.
That's
wild.
We had to go with the parent. And then, and then afterwards he asked me if I had any questions and I said no, but I didn't. I mean, I didn't understand anything.
And that was good enough for him. He's a one question, one answer man.
He didn't want to do it. My mom was actually, she's told me she used to like, yell at him. Like, you gotta, do you want, she was like, do you want me to talk to him? And my dad was like, no, 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 I'll do it. But he never did. And
Is that what his parents were like? Where's he, where was he from?
He was from New York originally. And yeah, and he moved out to LA, I think when he was like 10 or 11, he and his family. And yeah, no, I don't really, his parents were both dead before I was born. So I never met them, but I've only heard stories about them. But I don't know. I don't think that they were, I can't imagine the stories I've heard. My uncles told me stories that the father sat them down and told them stuff. It was a different time too.
Yeah. Different time.
Different time.
I was going to say, you didn't even have the internet to look up.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I remember being in eighth grade and being with a bunch of like guys in PE, and someone was talking about somebody like giving somebody a blowjob, and everyone's like, oh, and I was like, oh, but I had no idea what it meant.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, do you blow on it? Like, I did not know it meant, but I acted like I knew.
Well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
One of the guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's how I learned what the word cum was. Really? It's like everyone was like, you know what it is? Do you know what it is? And I was like, yeah, cum. Uh-huh. Like, no clue. No clue. It's horrifying. One kid finds out and the rest of you have to scramble to figure it out.
Yeah, and also because my sister knew stuff and she was older. She always knew stuff and I didn't. And you know,
did she share with you?
Yeah, did you ask her?
No, my sister, no. My sister would like be like, do you even know what that means? That
oh, no.
My sister and I, my sister were closer now. But like when growing up, she was really like very popular in like every club. Like everyone knew her. And I was like Robin Silpa's brother. That was my name. And I wasn't nerdy enough to be a nerd. I was just kind of like a nothing.
Were you in theater?
Yes. I had discovered, but I was really got into it at like 11th and 12th grade. It
yeah,
was
that's
like
good.
A safe haven. Also, leading into the stories I was going to tell, when I had to go to, I say that strongly, Hebrew school for like 2 years. Amen.
Yeah. Wait, where'd you go?
Valley Beth Shalom.
Oh, VBS boy.
Oh,
VBS is no joke, man. They take that stuff. Yeah.
It's conservative.
Yeah, we went to the less.
Is it?
Yeah, it is now.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I always felt that it was more like reformed. Especially because my grandparents were like, on my mom's side, were like Jewish Orthodox. Whoa. Yeah, they kept kosher and everything. My grandmother was, I loved them. My grandmother was like very like stereotypical, like eat. She was always cooking. She's this tiny woman, but like this powerhouse, but she would always be cooking and cleaning. And my mom would not, this is an old joke, but like what's a Jewish woman's favorite thing to make for dinner? Reservations.
That
was my mom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, totally.
Funny. Yeah. But so I went to Hebrew school for like, I think 2 years and I hated it.
I did too. I hated it.
And the only thing that I loved, I think I had to go twice a week. And sometimes, like, it was Tuesday, Thursday in my memory.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would pretend I wasn't feeling well on a Tuesday. But Thursdays I'd go because we did a play.
Did you get to be Moses?
No, I'll tell you. You don't know who I was.
Yes.
It was very creative. They would do, like, something current mixed with a holiday. Like, they did a Star Wars version of like Hanukkah, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah,
and my favorite was we did a chorus line version of Purim, and what does that look like? I was Haman. Remember the bad guy's name was Haman?
Yeah,
I was the bad guy, and I had a song that was
tits and ass.
No, I wish. I wish. But it was based on I Can Do That.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I still remember some of the lyrics.
I love it.
Give it to us.
Come on, let's hear it.
God, I can't believe I remember. I mean, I was 12. I watch this man walk right on by. For that he will die. I said he will die. For every man must bow to me. So do you see, revenge there must be. Wait, I still remember. There are these Jews, he says, that won't bow. I mean, it goes, I can't believe I remember that. It's going to be on my deathbed.
That's amazing.
I love the teacher.
Oh, I know, kind of ahead of their time with these mashups. That's hysterical.
I met a friend there, this guy, Mark. So Mark and I became friends, and we started like, we were in the plays, and I was like, do you want to hang out?
Yeah, after play.
He lived in Woodland Hills. I lived in Encino. So Mark became what my parents referred to as a bad influence on me.
Yeah.
So some stuff they knew, some stuff was really stupid. Like we would make, they call them crank calls or prank calls.
Yes.
Or they used to call them phonies too. And we would make this is so, I feel so guilty about this now.
Oh, but I have a ton of those. I feel so guilty.
Feel like the worst one we did was because I used to like do character voices.
Oh, great.
So we would call a random number and I would pretend to be like a little kid. And all I would say was, I would pretend like I was like almost crying and say, can I talk to my mommy? Is my mommy there? And I would like to ask for my mommy. And sometimes you get people like who would feel so bad, like, oh, your mommy's, I think you dialed the wrong number. And I would say, she told me she was going to be there and I need to talk to my mommy. And then it would get to, this is where I feel the worst about it. When it would be over, I would go, then fuck you, and I'd hang up. And we would laugh.
We would laugh.
Oh, my God.
But it's also, this was before, like, caller ID.
The best.
Yeah, the only way you'd be, like, they would have to be, like, calling an operator and say, like, can you trace that call? Like
that kid.
Like, some kid pretended to call his mommy. But to Mark and I would do that. And then
Mark.
And then Mark taught me how to, like, we would throw eggs at cars and stuff. And one time we got in trouble for it. I was always, though, like the one getting in trouble. Like, I was like, Thelma and Louise, like the Gina Davis, the one who was always kind of getting left the fuck up. So I was like, that's my great reference. But like, we would sometimes like hang out and we would like walk around Ventura Boulevard and we'd go in the store. Oh, we used to do this really stupid thing where we would get, do you ever get into fake fights with your friends when you were a kid? Like, do you ever,
like in front of people?
In front of people. I have a friend, my friend Rachel and I, we'll text each other with fake fights. We'll say awful things to each other. It's kind of fun to have a friend like that where you can kind of just say the worst things.
Let it out.
So Mark and I would sometimes go into, I thought this was like friends did this, but Mark and we would go into stores sometimes and we'd get into a fake fight. We'd start arguing with each other and yelling at each other
until
we got people to look at us. And then we'd stop and say, We are the Encino Players, and we would bow, and then we would run out as if anyone. Like, I always thought people were chasing us. We are the Encino Players, and I still say it to Mark. We're the Encino Players.
I love that you button all your gags. Yeah. Like we got the fuck you. We got we are the Encino Players. You're very very good at this.
Well, we needed. I never thought of fuck you as a button, but I guess it was.
It sure was.
But then we started like, okay, so this
the Encino Players.
I remember there was a real estate office and they had these like I think Encino Park, is that what it is on French Road? I don't even know if it's still there, but post office, but they had like flags outside
I know what you're talking
about. So one time we went and Mark dared me, so we did it and we took one of the flags out. We took a couple and we threw them. We ran down the street and then we threw them like javelins. And ran. And then one of the guys, I guess one of the real estate agents, ran out after us and we ran. I was so scared. I had never been in trouble. I was such a good little boy.
Right.
We ran and ran and ran, and we ran into the park there, and we went into the bathroom. We thought we were fine. He totally found us.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
It was terrifying. And I have to say, to this man's credit, he was like, he was trying to be very reasonable. And he was like, I remember him saying, like, I remember, like, as a kid, I used to do crazy things too, but nothing to hurt anyone. And I'm like, and then, you know, and then he let us go. But I was like, I mean, none of
That's
that we took to heart.
Scary.
Yeah. But it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And another time, so there used to be something called the Town and Country, which is now, I think, the Commons.
I'm reliving all of our Valley moments.
Do you remember when it was called the Town and Country, or you just
is that where the Lemley is?
Which is still there.
Yes, I think that might be the only. There was a Coco's there, I remember.
Yeah,
and there was a Nautilus gym, but there was a bakery there, and it was so good. And when I would walk down the boulevard with my friends, we'd go to that place with other friends. We would usually get a cupcake or something. But Mark and I would always we're so stupid. We'd go in there and we'd order a cupcake and we'd sit. And there was a woman who worked there. And then when she'd go in the back room, we'd knock over the chairs and the table and run out. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. But we ran out. One time we ran out and Mark went for some reason one way and I went the other way. And right into a security guard. And he didn't know what we did, but he saw us run out of there.
Sure.
And so Mark came back because he's a friend. He could have left. And we went back in there and the woman said, I remember she said about me, I didn't know she knew me. When he comes in with his other friends, he's always a good boy. But when he comes in with him, he's trouble.
That is funny.
Did Mark's parents just not
care?
They weren't helicopter parents or what?
No. And they were great parents. I really liked Mark's parents. I think, I don't know what the deal was. I also think Mark was just better at not getting caught than I was. I was just I was so lame. I was to get caught.
He was a hoodlum.
Mark was a hoodlum at
that
time.
From Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
He also was the first person that I drank alcohol with.
Aww.
And
my mom, that was a touchy moment for my mom.
Very sweet.
Aw, Mark. We love you, Mark.
Mark's great. We're still friends. But one time I was sleeping over his house and he had a brother and they shared a bedroom. And when I slept over, we'd sleep on the couch. And everyone went to sleep. It was Saturday. We would watch Saturday Night Live and we'd get to stay up. And so Mark would sneak in the kitchen and then we'd have a drink. And sometimes I would just have a couple and I would pretend to be drunk because I didn't really want to. But one time we left. And it must have been 2 or 3 in the morning. We snuck out of the house. We went to Ventura Boulevard and there was this diner called Ryan's that's gone now. But we used to go there and it was, we would get the fried chicken dinner, two in the morning.
Yes.
And we would it was, you know, and Mark was a little drunk and I was pretending to be or a little buzz. And then one time we left and we were walking back to his house and his dad pulled up
in the car. Way.
And his dad was really kind of a beefy guy. And he
sounds hot.
Very hot. He just said, get in.
Ooh.
And we got in and we were sitting in the back seat. And I mean, he had a kind of a temper, but he didn't say a word.
Which was chilling.
Yeah, that's worse. That's worse.
It felt so scary. He was so mad that he couldn't talk and thought it was wiser to not talk.
Mm.
And he just drove us back home to his place and went to bed, didn't say a word. I don't have a memory of him saying a word to me about it because the next day, my dad came and picked me up but I never mentioned it to him. And I'm sure he said something to Mark. I just don't remember what. But, oh, wow. Like, and, you know, and I also think maybe Mark's dad was kind of like, like when he was young, was kind of a fuck up too. So he's like,
Sounds hot.
You're tight. Okay. So one time Mark slept over my house.
Ooh.
And my parents, Mark's straight.
I love Mark.
But we were, I can't remember if my parents were out of town or if they were like just out for the night, but my sister was gone. We were alone in the house. We had a room in the house that we would call the new room because it was added on. It was always called the new room.
Yeah,
I love that house. It's like we all had that. The family, like we all had
the Jewish living room.
Yeah, the names for it, the new room. That's great.
That you never went into.
The new room.
We had a pool table in there, and but there were cardboard boxes in there filled with alcohol from my bar mitzvah, like gin and stuff like that. That was
oh
not
my God.
Drunk, and it just said my parents really. We're not drinkers. So Mark had come over, like he had dinner with his family, came over and we drank and I got a little drunk. He got really fucking drunk. And we were in my bedroom and he was like sloshy drunk and he like threw up all over my
worst
carpeting.
Oh.
And what came out of his mouth was spaghetti that had been fully digested. And what Mark said, he was kind of half, and he almost like he kind of passed out, and he threw up, and he looked at what he did, and all he said was spaghetti, and then he fell asleep. And then, I think my parents were out because I had to clean it up really fast, but I never told them that story.
You must have cleaned it up good.
Yeah,
you must have cleaned it up good.
A
that's
rug,
not an easy
vomit
thing out of
clean.
A rug.
Yeah,
I was still a gay kid. I would clean it up. I didn't want my room to smell. But yeah, I mean, my parents really. I mean, I think my mom didn't hide the fact that she was dubious of Mark. She often called my friends weird. Which was not really great because you're also calling me weird, but which I was, but it should have been embraced. My dad would make jokes about it. Like he knew we threw eggs and one time when we got in trouble for it. And then after that, my dad would ask Mark when he would see him and he would just make, he goes, do you have eggs in your pocket? Like that was his joke. And it was kind of funny. Mark, well, it was funny. But yeah, that was, but we're still friends. Like,
I love that.
We love
Has him. Mark gone to jail?
Yeah.
No.
Mark never made
Mark
it.
Mark is not like he was. Mark's a lot more responsible. But yeah, I think he got it all out as a kid.
Don't you feel like that's just part of growing
up? Oh, yeah.
And you had a buddy to do it with. I think that's fun.
It's boy stuff.
I feel like I didn't get more, it's not rebellious, that's not the word. I didn't get looser until I got older. I didn't really, Mark was maybe the craziest, but once again, I didn't really get really drunk until I was in college. I didn't really get high until college, and then it was only for like a short period of time. And then like I rediscovered weed when I was like 40 and like, and then, then all that. And I didn't really drink that much until I drink more now than I used to.
I know. And I feel like that's not a very common thing. I feel like you get a lot of people get their drinking out done real early on and then are tired
but
of it.
Never like, I don't like drinking to get like sloshed. I just like a light buzz. Like I stop.
You have one little glass and you're like, guys, I'm buzzed.
I am. I'm a
and
lightweight.
I love it. I'm
a
love
lightweight.
That.
That's great.
You
that's
are
all
a
I
cheap,
that.
Beautiful date. And
I'm
I love
a cheap
that.
Date. I'm a cheap date. Yeah.
Well, this is amazing. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with some of our listeners' stories. And I would love for you to chime in and let us know if you have any similar stories to these as well.
Cool.
Okay. Be right back. Oh, we just wanted to take a quick minute just a quick little break here to say thank you for all of your support. You guys have been giving this podcast some great ratings, great comments, great feelings, thoughts, and all those things. If you can continue to do that, we would really, really appreciate it.
We're just going to keep on going.
We're just going to keep on going because of all your love. So keep it coming. Thank you. It really does help when you share it, when you rate it, when you review it. Also, we're about to hop into some stories that you guys have submitted. If you want to submit your own story, head over to ungroundablepodcast.com and let it rip, my friends. Let it rip. Also, guys, we're over on Patreon. If you didn't know, Patreon is a great place to be with us. You can see the full video in its entirety. Watch my mom for a solid 50 minutes make some fun faces over there on Patreon. There's also bonus material episodes over there, including a whole other show with Jeff, my husband. It's wild, it's crazy, and I would love for you to be a part of it. So head over to patreon.com/ungroundablepodcast. Mom, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. You're welcome. Having a good time.
So happy you're here. Let's get back to Mitchie Poo. All right, we are back. And if you guys want to submit your stories and your secrets, you can do that on ungroundablepodcast.com to be read here live with me, Mom, and our special guest today, Mitch. All right.
Hi.
Fan submission number one. I have not read these yet, which I never do. I probably should. We're just going to do it and see what happens. I was kind of an asshole in middle school and one time gave somebody a swirly during gym class. I think that's in the toilet. Like, put your head in. The kid told on me and my mom was called. I told her it wasn't me. She believed me and I didn't get in trouble. She still doesn't know that I lied on this day and I still feel bad about it. Wait, I think isn't a swirly that? Like dunking a kid's head in the toilet and flushing?
I have never heard that term in my life.
It's
not a wedgie. A wedgie is when they pull the underwear up.
Yeah. And it's not a like a wet willy?
Oh,
that's a wet willy.
I think a swirly.
Should I look it up?
Yeah, look it up.
Google it.
Also, like, how did this kid, the mom was called and then the kid just denied it and the mom believed? It's a gullible mom. I think the mom didn't want to believe it.
Exactly.
I feel like a lot of parents are in denial that their kids are assholes,
right? Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Swirly, Urban Dictionary. Oh, when a girl sticks her head in the toilet. Sticks her head in the toilet.
Yeah.
What? Wait, no. Sorry. No, wait a minute. There's two swirlies.
Okay.
This is what... I'll read you what I was stop myself, but it's pretty... It's sexual. So the other swirly is a form of torture / punishment in which the victim is held upside down over a toilet with his head in the toilet.
Ew.
Yeah. I thought that only happened in movies.
Yes.
Sounds like almost. You know?
Well, what was the other one?
Yeah.
When a girl sticks her head in the toilet while receiving anal.
Oh, my God. Ooh.
I think that was on 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh my God. Mom loved that movie, by the way. Wow. That's disgusting. All
it's
versions
so awful.
Of it.
Yeah. And fascinating at the same time.
Why? Why? You have to be careful not to drown.
I was going
to
say, do you put on a snorkeler? Like, what's the setup? And how do you get to that? How does it get there? You know?
Like, want to do that?
I mean, you have
sure.
to desire that, I guess.
Yeah. Listen, everyone's got their thing.
Yeah.
Mom's writing this one down.
I am.
Don't forget.
Can I say something that is not a kind of, I not totally what this girl did, but it was a girl, right? Am
I reading that right? I guess. I don't know.
No name, right?
Yeah.
I did lie about, this is so messed up. When I must have been desperate for attention. Sad. But I once lied to my mom and said this other boy, when I was in fourth or fifth grade, hit me. I never in a million years thought she would call that boy's mom.
Oh.
And she told me she did. And I was like, I had to fess up to it.
Oh, no.
I had to say it. I didn't do it. He didn't do it. And then, and I felt so bad. And my mom called that mom back because she was furious. And then she lied and said, oh, I'm so sorry. It was another kid who did it. And no one ever.
And then well, that was a good cover up, yeah. Actually.
Yeah. No, she covered my tracks. And then yeah. I was crazy. That's crazy. And then when I saw that kid in school, because his mom actually, you know, obviously said something to him, he said, he's like, oh, that's so weird that I'm sorry some kid hit you. Or like he was really sweet about it.
Oh, no.
Like, but he had a black eye. He had a black eye.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Yeah. That was a weird thing to lie about.
I mean, did you see Dear Evan Hansen?
Yes.
It's
a few times.
Yeah, yeah. We saw that. We loved it so much. But it's just that idea that like one little lie and then it just perpetuated.
Yeah, keep going.
You can't stop. And your mom helped push it along.
My mom helped end it. Well, you know, she added a lie to my lie, but it did. It was a smart lie and ended it.
It was a good lie.
Thank you, B.
B, we love ya. All right, fan submission number two. The last week of high school, I set off a stink bomb in the cafeteria and caused everybody to evacuate and miss lunch. I didn't think about this ahead of time, and I also did not get to eat lunch.
Most importantly.
Yeah. A stink bomb. I never tried one of those.
Where do you even get them?
Yeah, what exactly is a stink bomb?
I think, okay, it's just like sulfur? Maybe it's sulfur. You know those things that people would used to throw and they would make sounds like crackle? Like,
yeah.
I think it was like in the vein of that. That maybe you would even get it at a magic shop.
Oh, yeah.
And you would just buy them.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It wasn't like a bomb. It wasn't a bomb threat moment.
I love that this person didn't think it through. And then they didn't get lunch. They missed lunch.
Damn.
Lunch is important. Did you have a lunch lady at your school?
Yes. Like first through six, we had definitely had a lunch lady. I don't remember any of their names, but I think there were a few lunch ladies with that hairnet.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just remember like when you would, if it was like fish sticks, it was the best day.
Really?
Do you like fish sticks?
Yeah. Oh. And I would now, but when we would have fish sticks and it was fish stick day, I'd be like so happy.
I feel like you were the only kid that was excited about fish sticks.
Yeah, I know. I might have been.
More tartar sauce? Yes, please.
Once again, a gay child. Tartar sauce.
Just like cutting.
Although I would never, and I never understand, and I never did as a child, the appeal of anybody wanting a fillet of fish at McDonald's.
Oh my God. No. How wretched and terrible. Yeah. What a terrible idea.
Do they still sell them?
I don't know.
It was popular enough that it was there for years.
I don't think they do.
And the McRib is also horrifying looking.
It's not a rib.
What is it?
I haven't had it in a long time, but I used to love McRibs.
Was it good? I mean, people are so obsessed with it.
I used to love McRibs, and I used to love around St. Patrick's Day when they would do the Shamrock Shakes.
I think they still do that.
My mom is a big fan of now McDonald's coffee.
The best.
I hear it's good. Like,
yeah,
coffee's actually
I get a
good.
Senior coffee. It's awesome.
It's for a dollar. It's like her favorite thing.
That's great.
I'm not kidding. Don't go to Starbucks. Just tell them you're a senior.
I'm going to try that. Yeah. Tell them you're a senior. I'm also going to.
The drive-thru. What are they going to do? Argue with you when you get up to the window?
Well, I'll tell you something. Like when they're like 17 or 18 or whatever, we all look like seniors.
That is such a good point.
They're not going to.
I didn't even think about that. That's brilliant.
I've done that in movies. Like now, I'm like, I'm probably the senior ticket.
Just bend over
of course.
And like, you know, hobble. Did you know during COVID, because we all had to wear masks, there was this thing going around where teenagers were buying booze because they would just like put up the thing and like dress like little old women and go to the.
I didn't know
that's
that.
That's so fun.
That's brilliant.
That is brilliant.
I love that. Turning lemonade from lemons or getting
lemons
drunk?
Turning lemons into lemonade.
Yeah, thank you.
With a little tequila on
the side. Well, any last things that have flooded your memory that you feel like you just need to like let out here today?
Yeah, I do. Based on, this is once again, not totally connecting to the stink bomb story, but it's about like doing something where you know, you're a kid and you just don't fucking think it through.
Yeah.
I used to write on the wall and stuff like that and write on things. And I, the hell, like, I wouldn't think, and I'd always get in trouble. So we used to have a couch, and it was just like orange, like burnt orange couch. And one time I wrote in like a blue, I think a blue or black pen, the word Silpa. I wrote our last name on one of the cushions. And it's what? So stupid. I wrote Silpa on the cushion, and my dad, my sister and I were home, and my dad called us into the kitchen, and he said, "Who did this?" Knowing that it had to be me.
Oh, and we both said,
"I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it." He said, "Okay, I want you both to write on a piece of paper the word Silpa, and I'm going to compare it." But I was smart enough to know I messed with my writing. I did it right. And then he compared it because I knew it didn't match. But my dad looked at them, and he said to me, "It was you." And I yelled, "No, it's not." I got really upset, and I ran out of the room. But like,
I mean, that's
so stupid.
Honestly, that's pretty fucked up. Were they able to get it off the...
No.
Probably not.
What happened is he just flipped the cushion
over. I know. I knew you were going to say that.
Is it still there?
Flip the cushion.
The cushion's way gone. That couch has been way gone. My dad got the couch in the divorce.
At least you wrote like your last name and not like, fuck. I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was my way of coming out. I'm gay.
That's pretty epic, actually.
That's great.
But I was a little boy. That would be pretty epic. Aww. I'm gay. My dad would have been
furious. Just flip the cushion. Just flip the cushion, and we never talk about this again. Oh my God. Well, Mitch, you are an absolute delight. For people who are wanting to learn more about you, see more of you, where should they go? What should they follow?
Oh, I on Instagram, I am Mitch Silpa Picks, P-I-C-S. And at Twitter, I am at Mitch Silpa. That's if you wanted to follow me. I'm on TikTok, but I don't really do anything.
You are?
Do you go like this on TikTok? Move the shoulders.
I should. Maybe that's what I'll do today. I'll do a little just me and see if it goes viral.
I think that's the ticket, and you can just thank her later. Yeah, send her the check later.
What should I call it? Shimmy? Shimmy Silpa?
I love that.
That's pretty cute. Shimmying with Silpa.
Just keep your feet on the ground and go.
Ooh, this is like a metaphor for life, babe.
Keep your feet on the ground and shake those shoulders.
That's right.
Well, you're a pure delight. Thank you for joining us and spilling all the beans. Woo-wee!
What a ride.
I want to replay him singing that song from his chorus line.
That was the best.
Yeah.
That was the best.
It's so funny how like those things stick with you from way back in the day, but I can't remember what I did 2 seconds ago. I think I could do like the full choreography for my children's
theater could, for sure.
Experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
maybe him and I can revive.
I think you should.
And the Purim chorus line. Well, I hope that you guys enjoy this as much as we truly did. Let us know. We want to hear from you. You can head over to our Instagram family, our podcast family over there. It's Human Content Pods, or also on TikTok. You can see Mitch and us now on TikTok.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe we should record one of the shimmy and shakes for the TikTok. Right. Yeah. So that's at Human Content Pods. Or you can head over to our website. That is ungroundablepodcast.com to just drop us some kind words, thoughts, feelings, stories. Actually, Mom, we have an official review from one of our listeners who rated, loved the podcast, and took the time to review. So we're doing a little shout out.
Yay.
To encourage you guys to do the same. Teeny Tiny Stacy on Apple said, "Love the candid stories. Love the humor. Love everything about this." I feel emotional over that comment for some reason. I'm losing my mind, but that's really, really kind. Those things really do help, guys. They help our podcast, but they also help our hearts.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Boom, boom, boom.
Yes. Help our hearts. Go over to Apple or where you listen to your podcast and leave us a review. We will be sure to shout you out next time. Oh, Oh, and as you guys know, we are on YouTube every Monday. You get an extended clip on YouTube. So check that out. Mom loves watching herself on YouTube. So be like my mom. Head over there, like, subscribe, do all the stuff that the YouTubers do. We're also on Patreon. So head over to Patreon if you want to check that out. That's patreon.com/ungroundablepodcast. Oh, speaking of which, you guys, a special shout out to a Patreon member. We're doing a Patreon roulette.
Yes.
So when someone signs up, they get thrown into the roulette. And today we're giving a shout out to Rose ASMR, who has joined the Patreon family. Yay, Rose. Yes. Oh, actually, you know what ASMR is? ASMR. It's when people talk like this and it gives them like a nice little giggle, like tingles and feelings. Oh. It's like kind of like a, so maybe we should say Rose ASMR.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you so very much, Rose.
We love you, Rose.
Yes, you got it. Thank you so much for listening today, you guys. We're your hosts, Lisa Schwartz and
Mom.
Yes, and a very special thank you to our special guest, Mitch Silpa. Our executive producers are me, Lisa Schwartz, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brooke. Our editor and engineer is Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omar Benzvi, and our theme song is performed by the amazing Leah Donovan Jones. This is Ungroundable with Lisa Schwartz, and it is a Human Content production.
I love this. I love the music.
Yeah, it's great, right? Yeah.
It's hilarious.
We're the best. Bye.
That's what we said.